Welcome back to the Two Guys Named Chris show. We are on with Lisa Lanier, our official attorney of this program. Lawyer Up is the segment. LanierLawGroup.com is her website, or HireAHeavyweight.com. Usually comes on Fridays, has agreed to join us here today. Lisa, hello, and how are you?
I'm fantastic. I hope you guys are.
Doing very well. Had a couple of cases to talk about today. A full docket. In fact, yesterday we were talking about this poor family. Their home was raided accidentally by police because there was a carjacking, and the guy whose car was stolen said, you know, my AirPods are inside the car. Maybe we can search for the AirPods and find the car. Police said, oh, yeah, let's try that. They wind up searching, figuring out where the house is. They use a battering ram to go into the house. They punch holes into walls. Whole family is traumatized. Here's the dad talking about.
Trucks, man, I don't know anything about a violent crime. Nothing that was involved in this crime was ever found inside of my house. Once I made it home that morning, I didn't leave again until 1 o'clock. My children don't even want to walk up and down the street because we were humiliated.
He's saying they were humiliated because cops went into the wrong home, and the AirPods had been thrown out onto the street just in front of this man's home.
Found them.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, Lisa, I feel bad for him. I feel like the judgment should go against the cops in this situation. Are they going to get a big payout?
Well, you know, there's actually, and we have another story similar to this out of Denver that's on the docket saying in both cases, it's, you know, the police using the Find My app to locate where they think, you know, a criminal suspect is. And there are a lot of strict rules around this when it comes to law enforcement because it's a pretty fallible app. You know, it doesn't give you a super precise location all the time. Sometimes it's updated based on a prior hit at that location. And so they have a lot of protocols in place that essentially sort of dissuade law enforcement from using the Find My app as a way to apprehend a suspect. And so I think in both cases, the police are in the wrong. In this case that you just aired the clip from, I don't think they were quite as badly damaged as the woman in Denver that we're going to talk about in a little while, but it's still, I mean, it's wrong. They certainly should not use that. It's just too imprecise. And you know, and I think if you are using it, you know, they could have probably made the AirPods play a sound, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And, like,
yeah,
around outside and, you know, figure it out. You know, my kids, there's play a little sound. So, you know, make it beep.
They beep. Yeah.
No idea.
Boy, a lot of those Apple, that's like an Apple AirTag beeps too.
Really?
They did really wrong here.
Boy, if they could make it beep, they'd know it's run out in the road and not behind the door.
I want you to tear those sounds apart. Find those AirPods.
Well,
I bet almost that might be what happened.
You think?
Yeah, somebody played the sound, and we're like, oh, we're standing on it.
Oh, there it is, right out there in the road. Now, the woman in Denver that you're talking about, now, her name is Ruby Johnson. She's 76 years old, and police were searching for stolen guns and a stolen truck and raided her home and detained her. She was in the shower at the time. And she got out of the shower and threw on a robe or whatever. They got her out into the outside and just went through the whole place, you know, again, just ransacking, put her through a lot. She wound up getting $3.76 million. Was this surprising to you at all, Lisa, that she got that much money?
I know it was a big verdict, but a lot of it was punitive damages. Plus, they did a ton of damage to her home. In this case, you know, much worse, I think, damage than the one that you just referred to. Here, I mean, they literally trashed her entire house. She can't even live in it now. Mm-hmm. And they broke basically everything she has. They broke family heirlooms. She's a retired, I think, postal worker who was just, you know, trying to live her life. She's had to go live with her adult children because she can't even live in the house. They broke everything she had. They detained her in cuffs, I think, in her bathrobe. And it was, again, it was the Find My app. And it was incredibly negligent, according to the jury. And so they tagged. And in Colorado, there's a new statute that basically opens up the door to suing police officers who, you know, do stuff like this. You have to sue in the individual officer's name, but then the state is responsible for paying the verdict. So it's a big, big verdict. No word on whether the Denver police are going to appeal because it is such a high punitive. Sometimes they would appeal and ask the judge to reduce the amount, but so far they haven't done that, I don't think. So I think they're going to pay her.
Give it to her.
It's big money.
You let somebody tear up your house for $3 million?
Yes.
Me too.
Yes, and I don't even have a bathrobe. I don't even care.
You go out there naked.
I go out there naked, suds in my eyes. For $3.76 million?
You have to live with your son because he's the only adult child you have.
Yeah. hold the reins on this one now. Living with that child? I don't know. I've lived with him before, but for $3.76 million, yeah. She went through a lot now. She went through a lot.
Yeah, and she's older.
Yeah, 78.
And what were they after?
Stolen truck and stolen guns. They thought there were guns inside the house, and they
The truck ain't gonna be in there.
Well, no.
So how did the Apple lead them there?
What happened with that, Lisa? They were at the wrong address.
There was a phone or an AirTag or something that was associated with the guns, but they went to essentially the wrong house because there was some kind of Apple product pinging a couple houses down.
Yeah.
But they just went, because it is an imprecise, it gives you like a circle, you know, of where it might be.
Right.
Very imprecise.
Yeah.
I think as you saw, you're dragging the old woman out. I think to myself, this might not be the car thief.
Yeah.
The gun runner. Yeah.
I mean,
before we start breaking her stuff.
Gun runner, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, you'd think common sense would tell you that, wouldn't you? There is a lawsuit today. Now, this is titillating, all right? I almost brought it up on Titillating Tuesday, but a manufacturer of some fantasy-themed sex toys has accused an upstart Brooklyn, New York firm of knocking off their distinctive designs, and a lawsuit is being filed now. We have some of the names of
these. What is a fantasy-themed sex toy?
Well, you've got Kelvin the Ice Dragon. These are all...
these anime things?
These are anime items that are doubling as sex toys. Stan the T-Rex, Virgil the Drippy Dragon. They're all offered by a place called Bad Dragon Products, and they're accused, now one is accused the other of stealing the idea and stealing the products. It seems like if they've copyrighted them, they're going to win this. Do you think, Lisa?
Yeah, in fact, I think that the company that's been accused of copying has already agreed to take most of the merchandise off the market. But the original seller who came up with these ideas is saying that's not enough because, you know, you've hurt our profits and you've profited unjustly. So they're going forward with the lawsuit, even though the other company has agreed to stop selling them because they're saying, you know, we're owed damages here. And so they're going to proceed. Interestingly, so these are dildos that are designed to mimic the genitals of dragons, sea creatures, and other fantasy characters.
Objection.
Wait a minute. Why did you not start with that, Kelly?
These guys,
you buried the lead.
I pucker on these types of things. I have a hard time saying
dildo,
this.
Genitals.
A dragon dildo.
I wouldn't be able to say it.
I can't say that.
A dragon dildo.
It is. It's pertinent to the case, though.
It's pertinent.
Yeah.
I agree.
Clear out there. I absolutely knew you would not be able to say dildo.
No, I don't.
Say
it for you. I don't even say that word. That's for passing gas. And you've said. And you've sent me postcards from your office with just that word written on it.
Oh, they party around it over her place.
That's right. That's right. Well, it looks like. So do
dragon
you think,
dong.
Will they be successful in their lawsuit saying your dragon dongs took some of our profits?
Yes, I think so. One interesting thing is that they're having to proceed mostly under copyright infringement, whereas typically you would see a trademark action here. A lot of their items could not be trademarked because the trademark the office opposed several of their trademark applications, saying that they're not allowed to approve a trademark for scandalous or immoral items.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. All right. Okay. The next case comes from one we talked about earlier this week, and we're wondering if this woman has any legal recourse at all. Her name is Mary Wilson. She's from South Carolina. And she is a dog groomer, but now cannot do any dog grooming until she gets a prosthetic because she lost her hand in a freak accident. She was drying her hair with a hair dryer. She passed out while drying her hair, and they think it might have been due to some sort of shock or something that came through the hair dryer. She falls down on the hair dryer. It's still running, and it produces so much heat under her hand that it damaged the nerve so badly they had to take off her hand up to like halfway up the forearm. It's unbelievable. And we're wondering, it did not have an automatic shutoff device. The hairdryer did not have an automatic shutoff device. Some do if they get too hot, there's too much heat produced. Can she go after the manufacturer of this hairdryer in any way, or is it just bad luck?
I think here it's just going to be bad luck. I mean, she's trying. I think she's going to try to make some kind of product liability claim. Mm-hmm. The problem is that it was such a freak accident, and it's not industry standard in the United States for a hairdryer to have an automatic shutoff. Other items, other hair items like curling irons and flat irons have that kind of feature. Mm-hmm. But, and in Europe, the hair dryers often have, they either have an automatic shutoff or they have a button that you have to continuously press for it to function. So in this situation, her falling, she would have released the button and would have been fine. Now, if she could prove that there was an electric shock from it that caused the whole thing, then she has a much stronger position. But it doesn't sound like that. Everything I could read about this story, she was just guessing about why she passed out and guessing that maybe, but had no proof that there was an electric shock. So I think she has a tough time proving any kind of products liability here because it's just not standard in our country to have that kind of feature on a hairdryer.
Right. Mm. But, you know, I almost, if I was the hairdryer manufacturer, I would say, we want to do right by you. We're going to give you a couple of $1 million. Do you
We're authorized to give you one new hairdryer.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
We here at Con Air are very upset to hear about your...
Yeah, you heard mine doesn't work. Yeah.
Here's a new dog brush, and here's a new Con Air.
We'll throw in a diffuser for free.
Lisa, as an attorney, would you advise me as the president of Con Air to go ahead and give her a couple of $1 million?
No.
She only gets, as Chris Dibb has said, the new product.
Do you think, it sounds to me like the way Lisa is describing the European hair dryers, mm-hmm. they're like our aim and flames.
Like a trigger. Yeah.
You have to hold two things down. That's a mess.
That's harder to do. Yeah, because this is such a freak. I'd be surprised if we ever had anything like this in the United States or any reason to, you know?
Not on a hairdryer.
Such a rare thing. Although, when we talked about this earlier in the week, we had a caller who said that it had happened to a family member, cousin, I believe, twice. She's mm-hmm. epileptic. And she had fallen twice and gotten major burns because of the hairdryer.
She burned some fingers off.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She lost some fingers. Wow. Almost the exact same story.
Dave likes major burns.
Yeah.
What a pain to have to push the button the whole time.
I know. Right? The entire time.
Hairdryer or that dragon dildo if you have to keep the button pushed.
Yeah, is that the case?
If you want it to breathe fire.
Objection. Yeah.
You got to
press
it down
twice. Two-handed operation.
Talk about a fire hazard. Objection. You know I don't like those terms. Yeah. I've puckered twice here today.
He's scared of fire and dildos.
And if you introduce two at the same time, my God.
How about a little dildo, Scarecrow?
Yeah. Awful. Absolutely awful. Let's go to Cape Cod, Massachusetts. There's a guy there named Bob Angelini, and he is very, very upset with Dunlap's Propane in Plymouth, Massachusetts, because he bought a home in the summer, and everything was fine. He bought the home. Everything was good. Several weeks after closing on the property, Dunlap Propane said, oh, we own your propane tank, and you have to pay us to use this propane tank, et cetera, et cetera. And he is going back and forth with them. They eventually locked it up. The propane tank is below ground where he is. And he says, I've never heard of this company. I don't know why they're doing this. Here's his first statement.
I don't have an agreement with you. I don't know who Scott Dunlap is. I don't know who Dunlap Propane is. And he says, well, we had an agreement with the builder.
So they had an agreement with the builder to provide propane to the house. But he has another propane supplier. And so he's like, Dunlap has no interest in being here. And so he himself locked up the propane tank himself. While he was on vacation, Dunlap Propane came out, cut his lock off, and said, we're the only ones that can supply propane to your house.
I then bought a lock, my own lock, put it on the outside here and bolted it through. When I went away on vacation, my bolt had been cut off, and he put another lock in there while I was gone.
Now,
Dunlap.
The reporter in the case in Massachusetts went down to Dunlap's to try and get a word and did the classic reporter going in, knocking on the door.
We tried repeatedly to get an interview with anyone from Dunlap's Propane.
Ben Simoneau from Channel 5, just looking to see if Scott or Paul are here.
Going there in person twice, sending emails and making phone calls. They would not speak with us.
I couldn't make heads or tails of this, Lisa. Why would Dunlap Propane do this, and what is going to be the outcome here?
Well, it's in places that rely heavily on propane for this guy, you know, his whole house is heated with it and his cooking appliances. And so in situations like that, it's new construction. It's pretty common because you want, you know, when you close on your house, you want everything to be functioning. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty common for the builder to go ahead and enter into a contract, get a tank, because these propane companies typically own the tank and you just lease it from them mm-hmm. because it's a $4,000 tank and most people don't want to shell out that much, so they'll lease it to you. They bury it on your property. And then typically you just pick up service with that person. Like any, you buy any house, you turn on your utilities. That's, hey, you're with Dunlap. But this guy had his, he just does not want to do business with Dunlap for whatever reason, has his own propane supplier and claims he didn't know anything about any of this. His purchase agreement and his closing documents say that the builder is conveying to him ownership of the house and everything on the property. And it's in pretty broad language, and several says it over and over and over again. So it seems pretty clear from the contract that he thought he was buying everything, including the propane tank.
Right.
But, maybe the beef is between, because the seller, the builder, tried to sell something he didn't own. It was a leased propane tank. And so I think you got to bring the builder in, and because the poor guy's got to have his, these people take this thing back, they got to dig up the yard, and he's got to bury another one out there. It's just a mess.
It is. He's lived like all winter without propane. I mean, he's gone several weeks cold.
Is he rationing?
Yeah, he's trying to ration with a little bit. So he was able to get one propane delivery from this company that he wants to do business with before Dunlap slapped another lock on there. And so he's trying to ration that to the end of winter.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I don't know what his beef is with Dunlap's. Why not just use, what came with the house? But it's a mess. So he's now taken Dunlap's to small claims court. And I think they're going to have to bring the builder in. They're going to have to third party them in to really get this straight, because they have a role in it, because they sold this guy something they didn't know.
Yeah.
It sounds like a real estate agent would have picked up on that.
Yeah.
And notified the client.
Yeah, you would think, because apparently in that part of the country, it's really common for propane tanks to have this issue, as well as solar panels that are leased.
Yeah, very strange. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole story was odd to me. I couldn't wrap my head around it, because we don't deal with that.
You don't deal with big propane.
No, I don't.
No, uh-uh.
I don't do big propane.
You just grill steaks with it.
That's all I use it for.
You're a gas man, aren't you?
Actually, yeah, we're gas. I'm a gas man, and actually, our steaks now, we grill those out on
good old fashioned charcoal.
Well, it's not a big green egg. It's the big black avocado.
Yeah. Knockoff.
Yeah. Knockoff.
It's a knockoff.
That's right.
Although I think it's a little more trouble than it's worth. What do you grill with, Lisa? You a propane woman?
I have natural gas at my house. I have a green egg, and I kind of like the green egg, but it is a lot of trouble.
It's trouble. I buy that organic lump charcoal.
What's that take? Six, 7 hours to make a steak?
Yeah, it took me 6 hours to make the last steaks. It's a little difficult. And remember one time I tried to bake brownies on it and drove my mother-in-law
right to
the bathroom. Yeah, I tried to cook a pizza and do brownies on it.
I gave her tomate.
That's what they called it before you lost weight, organic lump.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. That's right, Lisa.
That's when grilling pizza was all the rage.
I grilled a pizza. Gave my mother-in-law tomate, and I swore I'd never do that.
Brownies got raw egg in them. Yeah. Not supposed to mix that.
A little raw egg in the brownie.
Let it swirl in your mouth. It'll come together.
I like them gooey. Sue me. I like them gooey.
Okay.
That's it. All
we
right.
We got a gooey.
That's it. Lisa Lanier, our official attorney of the Two Guys Named Chris Show. Now, if you need any legal advice, you find her at lanierlawgroup.com or hireheavyweight.com. Thanks for being on a couple of days early with us, Lisa. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Have a great weekend.